Hello and welcome to Glitch Cube, we're a gaming podcast, and each week we take a deeper look into the art of video games. As always, I'm Christian.
I'm Chris.
And welcome back, everybody. Thank you guys for joining us once again as we dive further into the world of games. So this week we are going to be diving into Final Fantasy Rebirth. Ooh. It's a fantastic new little title that Chris has had the pleasure of playing to completion already, which is great. And he's going to be telling us all about it. I know that there's probably going to be some spoilers, right? A little bit, I would imagine.
A lot.
But the Final Fantasy VII's been around for a while. So if you don't really know the story at this point, I'm like, I don't know. It's like trying to say you're going to spoil Casablanca for somebody, you know? Like, it's been around for a minute.
I haven't seen Casablanca. But yes, I know what you mean.
It's been around for a minute. I think it's like past the statute of limitations of don't spoil this for anybody. So yeah, it's just going to be a fun little conversation. I haven't had a chance to actually play this one, so Chris is going to be leading the conversation here, but I'm going to be chiming in with my two cents every once in a while just to kind of, you know, poke the bear and see what's going on and maybe ask some questions that maybe I'm going to put my mindset into the mind of the listener and see if we can expand on some topics if needed and all that good stuff. But yeah, why don't you take it away? Let's go to Midgar, see what happens.
Yeah, so for me, a little bit of backstory with the whole remake trilogy thing they got going on. When it came out, I mean, obviously I was excited about it, right? Like I wanted to see everything that I liked about Seven, but pretty. And it was cool. I initially really didn't like Remake, actually, though. Like, I liked the fighting in it. I really thought the updated, like, battle system was great. But something about, you know, the whispers, right? It felt very Kingdom Heart-ish to me. These dudes in the robes. And, like, I didn't understand it, right? Because I feel like in Remake, they don't really tell you what those guys are all about. They're just walking around muttering nonsense.
And played a very small part in the original too. So like playing it from that perspective of going into this game, like I feel like we only saw them like once in the original game. And it's kind of like a throwaway thing. Like they're just there and no one's explaining why they're there and you never encounter them again, so.
Yeah, and it's like, for me, I don't know what it was. It just felt like it didn't have the same charm, which makes sense. I mean, the original had a charm to it that is special to it. But once I finished it, and I finished Intermission, I always forget the stupid name, the DLC for it, I was like, you know what? This is cool. It wasn't my favorite, but it was cool. And when I heard Rebirth was coming out, I was like, yeah, sure, I'll give it a shot. And when I saw like how open world it was, how expansive it was, I was excited. Way more excited about it than Remake. And after finishing it, I think I put about almost 80 hours into it. I liked it. In a lot of ways, I really loved it, but I feel like some things I didn't like about it actually kind of weighed it down enough to kind of tick some numbers down over my like overall score in my head. But I could easily recommend it to someone, right? Like, I feel like this remake trilogy that's going on, like, it's made for people that have always wanted to maybe play the original, but didn't like the somewhat traditional RPG elements of it, or, you know, obviously it's too old for some people. A lot of people don't like the blocky graphics. And I think this is a great jumping on point. Like, I know a few people that never played the original and are playing this and they're having a great time. So, I mean, in that aspect, like, I really like that because I think it's an interesting story that everyone should experience. I mean, it's weird how the original has such like a historical legacy, I guess, for the industry that, you know, it feels like if you play games, you should at least know what it's about. But with this, I really found it interesting how it feels so different from the original, but still keeps the, you know, overall plot the same, right? Like, all of the little, like, check boxes are there that you're going to this town, you're going to this area, like, it's all there. But the amount of new stuff they sprinkle in between different chapters, different regions, it's interesting. You know, in the original game, like, the world map looked so flat, obviously, and now it's just expansive. And it makes you feel like you're really there, which is cool. You know, it feels like a more lived-in world than, like, say, Final Fantasy 15, where you're driving around and it's mostly desert, and then once you get to that grassland, it's, like, not a whole lot there either, right? Whereas this, it feels like there's always kind of something in close proximity, at least for the first couple of regions, and I really like that. And, you know, the start of the game, it's interesting because it's kind of like, so yes, this will have a lot of spoilers in it, with the new stuff, basically. And, you know, Cloud starts off reminiscing about Nibelheim. And that was, you know, the whole village burning and
the basically super iconic Sephiroth shot. Yeah.
Yeah, where he stands and looks through the flames. And it's really cool when it looks in this high fidelity, right? Like, no more of that block face. Like, it's a really cool scene. And it's cool because they set it up where, you know, Zack plays a much bigger part in this game, right? Original, he dies. And in this game, so in the original game, right, you remember that Zack or Cloud took on Zack's memories, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in this game, in these cutscenes, you are Cloud, but you're basically playing as Zack. Cloud is just a soldier. He's just like a military man, right? But you don't know that because he has a helmet on. But when you go into the village, there's a guard. And when he, like, asks you, oh, have you ever been here? I live here. It's Cloud's voice actor. Like, that's Cloud. Even though you are Cloud, but you're actually Zack. Like, it's kind of confusing, but it's kind of cool how well they really flesh that out. But it had a really interesting way of telling the story that I felt like the original didn't explain that well. Like, I remember when I first learned that Cloud was just kind of like taking on Zack's memory in the original game, I didn't really understand it. But this game made it very clear. Though this game does do some things weird with like multiverse and stuff, but I'll get into that a little bit once I get to that area. But you know, after that, it kind of follows the original pretty closely, right? You go to Calm, and then after that, you have this huge open world in the grasslands, right? And I loved it at first, right? Like, there's so many things to do on the world map, and I just had to do all of them. It was great. Even if it felt kind of like Assassin's Creed in a way where you're just checking off tick boxes, you at least felt like you were doing something, which is cool, because most of the big world intel stuff you can do usually benefit you in the game, right? So, Queen's Blood, which is the card battling game, if you're battling everybody and advancing in ranks, there's a whole storyline attached to that. That actually some people say, like, I haven't looked into it. I really should, because I ended up giving up on the card battling, like, almost near the end, because there were some mechanics that were just, like, just kicking my butt. But someone said, like, oh, they heard Final Fantasy.
Just a Queen's Blood game. Because I keep hearing, like, how great that game is in this one. So,
it's, like, really, I would be enjoyable. Excited to play it,
so.
I think it's pretty high up there, like close to Triple Triad, in my opinion. Like, I really, really loved it for most of the game. And then there's a mechanic towards the end where it's just like, I just didn't feel like spending the time to really optimize my deck. But it was still really fun. You know, I thought the storyline attached to that was really interesting. And yeah, someone I was talking to about it said they heard like Final Fantasy IV music being played during one of the cutscenes. And I was like,
interesting.
Are they trying to tie something in? Like, there's a lot of like little hints and Easter eggs of other Final Fantasy games in this as well. I don't know if it means anything, maybe not, but the way they do this multiverse thing, it is kind of weird. But
is there going to be like a Smash Brothers Final Fantasy game? Where you're like, well, they already did that. Never mind. They did the fighting game.
Yeah, God Bless the Ring.
Was it like God or Dissidia or something like that?
Oh, I was thinking the OG. Yeah, I mean, Dissidia is definitely that. I was thinking like Air Guides, which had like Cloud and Tifa. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I forgot about Dissidia. That really came and went.
Yeah.
But it was cool. It was cool seeing those old Final Fantasy characters in 3D.
Yeah.
Right?
From that, like, I really
6
enjoyed.
And 4.
I actually really liked that game. It was fun, but it's kind of unfortunate it didn't pick up.
Yeah. That's kind of the sad thing with Square Enix, is they'll just abandon something if it really doesn't do well. But it, for me, that whole first region, and honestly, the first couple regions in the game, I really liked. You had the Grasslands, which had Midgar, Calm, the Mithril Mine, and then you had the Jannon region, which had Jannon, Crow's Nest, which, you know, Fort Condor in this game is another mini game, which this game has a ton of. Which I'm pretty sure everyone has talked about at this point, that like literally everything is a mini game in this game. And I like that. I felt like I really didn't get burned out by it either until right at the end. But Fort Condor sucks. I feel like I'm one of those people that I really liked it at first, but then once you realize like all you have to do is just kind of cheese it and just keep summoning like characters and overwhelming it. I'm like, it's more so just kind of tedious.
Mm.
And I really liked Fort Condor in the original. I felt like it was more drawn out. It was interesting. Whereas I understand they were trying to make this like quicker and snappier, but it's just like, I don't know. It felt like kind of a waste of time. But
right. That's supposed to be a big deal. I mean, that gives you one of like the first hidden summons. Like that's a huge point.
In the original, like, yeah. In this, yeah. It's like, so in this game, you do proto relic quests, right? And basically, when you finish the proto relic quest line for that region, you get this like proto relic, and each time you do it, you get a cutscene, and I think it's Gilgamesh. Because it looks like him. And it's like a quick little cutscene. So basically saying like, oh, if you get all these, Gilgamesh might be there. And so in like the Grasslands, you're basically following bandits around. Which was fun. It was enjoyable. In Jannon, you had to do Fort Condor. So in this game, Fort Condor is basically a board that you get sucked into. And basically where it is in the original game, it's called the Crow's Nest in this game. And if you look like far off in the distance, you'll see a condor perched on a mountain, but there is no like Fort Condor in the game, regretfully, like an actual location.
Oh, that's lame.
Yeah, that was something that kind of bummed me out, because I was like, oh, this would be really cool. And then I went there and I was like, I get what they're trying to do. Like, it's a little rebellion town, like anti-Shinra, but it just didn't feel the same. But yeah, Queen's Blood was one I really got into, and basically that region I was still really into exploring everything, seeing everything. And then, you know, the start of the game, obviously. I feel like this is kind of where the story picks up, right? Even in the original, when you get to like Junon and you go under region and you do the military march and stuff. And it's different in this game because this is where you meet Yuffie. You meet her super early in the game. And, you know, the whole march stuff plays so different from the original in a lot of ways. It's interesting. And in a lot of ways, I really liked it because it did feel different. But I feel like Yuffie is really, I don't say annoying in this game, but I don't know. I feel like in the original game, I didn't mind her as a character, but in this one, she's just so like childlike that it's kind of annoying.
I feel like as soon as they gave Yuffie like a voice actor, then she started to get more and more like actually annoying. And maybe that was the designer's original intent for her, but yeah, it just wasn't, I don't know, like in the original game, like she was such a cool character to find and she was great for the party, right? It made sense. She's like material hunter, right? Like she introduced you to a whole region, which is really cool. Like that was the whole point of it, but it's, yeah, I feel like as soon like with Advent Children, the movie, when that came out, like the one thing that she says is like, oh, you're going to owe me some material for that. Let's go hunt materia, right? Like it was always the same thing over and over again. And it's like, okay, I get it. So it would be nice if they changed it up a little bit, you know, like it doesn't have to be only a one track mind person because, yeah, you can be obsessed with collectibles, but that's not the only thing people who collect things talk about. They have lives. So I don't know. I feel like for her, having a voice actor kind of diminished her character for me.
No, I agree with that. Because it's like, I mean, in the original, I think the only way you found her was like if you did battles in a forest in a certain area and she would randomly pop up.
Yeah, you can completely avoid her. And then she took all your materia. And you had to go find her, and it like brought you to this cool area, which is rad.
And this, it's just like she shows up, and yeah, now she has a two-track mind, right? So it's materia, but something that they added into this game is this looming war between Wutai and Shinra. And in the original, I think like there was no ceasefire; like Wutai was just like, you know, surviving. Basically. But in this game, it's like they want there's a guy, I think his name's Luden Ludbrock, and he's an ex-soldier, and he's dressed like one of those robed guys, and basically he's trying to start a war with Shinra because he works with Wutai, and so there's that whole thing going on in this game too. So she has more of an urgency in wanting to defend Wutai, which is kind of cool. It makes her seem like she's actually there on a mission, but still, yeah, she's that like forced comedy relief. That's just not, it doesn't do it for me. Right. I like Barrett's one-liners more. Like in this game, I think Barrett might be my favorite character just because they really fleshed him out. In a lot of ways, there's one thing that I was kind of bummed about.
Guy.
Yeah. And it's like, I read this thing where people were like, oh, like he doesn't do anything like personality wise. Like he's just kind of a joke. And I'm like, there's so much to him in this game that I feel like of all characters, they worked really hard on him, which is cool. Cause I liked him in the original, but he has such a personality in this that it's like he was always in my party. Like I always had the same kind of party layout where it was always Cloud, always Barrett. And then I would switch between Tifa, Aerith, and then sometimes Red just because he had good mob control. And then Yuffie for a little bit. But yeah, and it's like there were some interesting things thrown in. And with those robed guys, so basically, they go on explaining, like, oh, this is the reunion, right? And in the original game, none of this really existed, right? The reunion in the original game was just the reunion of like Genova cells. But in this game, these dudes are all walking towards, you know, Genova, Sifirhoth, stuff like that. And it's like, it's interesting once you learn more about them. And it's weird to think like, oh, Cloud is like in that kind of same shell like person kind of. And, you know, throughout the game, like you get taunted basically like, oh, you're a puppet. Oh, like you're going to bring me the black materia the whole time. And you can kind of see where it goes pretty early on with that. But you don't really... It's interesting because I felt like those characters were just kind of pointless. But once you leave Junon, you go on this boat, and that's where you have the Queen's Blood tournament. And it was interesting because, like, crazy stuff happens, right? And those dudes start morphing because of Hojo. And it made it really different. And it added a lot of story with them because Hojo, like, I feel like they really fleshed him out too in this.
And which is nice because his part felt kind of quick. Like, he was introduced fast, and then, you know, they brought up the whole thing that, oh, he experimented on Red and all this, like, kind of briefly. And then that was kind of it. And I think Vincent might have brought him up at some point in the story. Like, he's the one that took his wife or something, right? But, like, it was never really like that. I don't know, he felt like a really quick bad guy to just throw in of like, oh, we need another boss here. So that is nice to hear.
Yeah, he was
like
a secondary.
Yeah.
In this game, I would say they don't treat him as like a true villain, but they definitely treat him as like probably second worst. Oh, because all throughout the game, like he shows up basically, and it's like, oh, like, yeah, I experimented on this. Oh, I want to experiment on them. And it's like, he's had his, like, hands on everything, right? Like,
well, he's the one that's supposed to have, like, made the soldiers, right? And, like, figured out how to infuse them with the Mako energy and all this stuff. So, like, it's kind of expected to have him play a more prevalent role in the story as a whole.
And so, like, in this, basically in the next chapter after the boat, he plays a much bigger part because he starts mutating those robed guys.
That's cool.
And it's interesting because a lot of characters or side characters in the game, you learn, are kind of experiments as well. And this is more like big spoilers for later on, I guess. It's you more so learn a lot of this from like side missions, but a lot of main characters or characters you interact with, right? They're all like numbered experiments, right? They're all kind of like husks. And it's interesting because during cutscenes later on, you'll notice some of those characters as the robed guys, but you'll see their face just like devoid of color, and you're like, oh my god. And it's interesting because pretty early in the game, like, you'll meet someone and they'll talk about how they were part of Soldier kind of, or they were got experimented on and they're not feeling too well, and then like 40 hours later you run into them kind of like a husk, and you're like, oh my god, like, what happened? You know, it's like weird, but it's really cool how they interconnected so much into this game. And the pacing of it actually felt really good, right? Once you get to the Coral region, right, with Costa del Sol, Coral, Golden Saucer, it just gets huge. And I feel like in a lot of ways, this is kind of where in the game I don't say I started falling off, but it just felt like there was so much to do that I almost didn't want to do it all. And I did, like, basically up until that point, I was doing all the world intel side stuff, everything. And once I got to this region, I was like, okay, I'm going to keep doing that. And you know, I get to the Gold Saucer, I do all the little mini games, and, you know, all the games that you love are there. There's no breeding of the Chocobos anymore, thank God. But there are races, which is fun. I really like the races in this game. It just straight up feels like Mario Kart. And I thought the Gold Saucer part was really well done. You know, it's the coral part was interesting. And I think one of the biggest issues I have, and I've actually heard very conflicting criticisms from a lot of people on this part, but basically, in the original, right, Dine is Barret's best friend, right?
I was going to ask about that interaction. Yeah. Because that feels like a storyline that was really underdeveloped in the original. That was actually what I felt like could have been the most like heartwarming or tug at your heartstrings, make Barret a real person kind of situation. But it didn't really like fully play out in the original, in my opinion. Yeah.
I agree. I think there's some things the original did really well with it and some things this did really well. And I wish that they would have combined both, because they fleshed out Barret a lot more with it and made him feel a lot more human. They almost made Dine feel less human in this, right?
Okay.
Because in the original, the whole end scene with Dine is that he's at these two graves, right, that he made for his wife, and then he thought Marlene, his daughter, was dead, so he had a grave there. So you have this like cool back shot of like these two crosses there, and they're having this interaction in the original. But of course they didn't go into big detail back then. In this game, you know, all throughout the coral area, like, you're learning more about Barret and everything that transpired in that area and why people hate him. And when you meet up with Dine, he's like kind of half dying, or he's locked up in a shack, and he automatically is mad at Barret, but he doesn't feel human, almost like he's lost his mind at this point. And the thing I thought weird was it was in the middle of like a scrapyard. So it had a lot of that like symbolic imagery in the background was just gone, right? There were no graves, no nothing. It was just you guys fighting out in a scrapyard. And like halfway through the fight, he gets this like his gun arm that he has turns into like this weird, like huge metal whip fist kind of thing. And I'm like, why are they doing this to him? Like, they could have just made it a very emotional fight, but now they're just tacking on an extra hard challenge for no reason.
So they're Resident Evil in that with like Nemesis evolutions.
Yeah. And it's just like, I felt like in that regard, it was very, they were very quick to end that part of it. But in a lot of ways, the way they explored Barret's past and him as like a father figure, it was really cool. Like, I really like what they did with that. And it made me really like Barret even more. And it is also interesting that, like, right after that scene, like, you know, it's a very touching scene. And it just switches, like, 180 instantly into, like, a whole different kind of, like, attitude. Like, oh, here's some comedy. Here's some, like, crazy stuff happening. It's like, damn, like, you didn't let that sit. Like, I felt like they really could have let you sit there and like soak up that emotion, but they just instantly were like, oh, nope, let's shuttle you to the next area. And honestly, like, it was weird, but at that moment I was kind of bummed out, where I was like, okay, like, let me just get to the next big story beat that I'm going to enjoy. And it kind of took a while, honestly, for me to hit that. And I think this is where I started getting kind of frustrated with the game. And I was trying to pinpoint when this happened, but after like the Gold Saucer and Desert Area, you go down to like Gongaga, right? Which in the original, that's like where Zack was from, and it's a jungle, right? Traversing this place sucked. I hated it. It made me not want to do the World Intel stuff. And this is when I kind of stopped doing it because it was just a pain because, you know, it's you're jumping up, you're jumping on mushrooms to get the different areas. Like it's a beautiful region. It's just a pain to go and explore. But I felt like they added a lot of good little side stuff with Zach in it. And the whole reactor scene there was so interesting because it was all new stuff, right? Like, basically, a bunch of stuff happens in this reactor, and Cloud, he doesn't try to kill Tifa, but it's like, you know, throughout the game, like, he is under, like, some weird mind control at some points where he loses his self. So he, like, basically knocks her into the live stream. And into this, when she's in there, she sees a lot of memories of Cloud as a kid. And it's important because a lot of times Cloud doesn't remember his childhood, really. You know, because his memories are all, like, discombobulated, basically.
Yeah.
And so it was cool to see that. And, you know, the weapons are in this game. You just don't fight any, right? Like, they're there. I'm pretty sure you'll fight them in the next game. But they play a much more important role in this. So I'm almost wondering if you won't be fighting them. Because I feel like that would counterbalance what they're for, right? Because they're supposed to defend the planet from the Black Materia, from Genova. And Shinra wants them. So it's like, why would you fight them? Right? Because I know that they did the same thing in the original, right? They wanted to defend the world, but it also, in this game, it feels more important to save the world. I don't know why, but it just does. And I think it's because they fleshed out so many, like, villains where it's like, oh, yeah, these guys are evil. Like, they really want to destroy the planet. Like, let's try to save it, you know? And it's cool because you really start, like, feeling for the characters. And for me, something I didn't like about it at first is, like, it felt like a big hangout game, right? In a lot of ways, it did feel like 15, where you're, like, on this grand adventure with these guys that you know, you played this game 30 years ago, right? And it's like,
just road tripping with your buds.
Yeah, I don't want to say it felt like a Persona game where you're, like, boosting up your relationships, but it's like it felt very focused on your party, and it's cool at times, but other times it's just kind of like almost unnecessary, like they're trying to maybe appease people that really like that, like, party interaction. But for me, I was just kind of like, okay, like, I just want to kind of keep going. And it's a weird, like, nitpick, but for some reason for me, it just kind of, like, I didn't like it, but I like the characters enough, obviously, to still enjoy it. But one region that I was very excited about in this was Cosmo Canyon, right? And
does Grandpa have legs? Do they give him legs, or is he just a floating, like, torso?
He's just a floating ball guy.
Gosh. Okay.
It's gorgeous. Like, that region is really pretty. And it's, you know, that's another region that I didn't fully explore either. I explored a lot of it, though. Much more than Gungaga. Because you do a lot of flying. And before this, so to get from Gungaga to Cosmo Canyon, you meet Cid, and Cid flies you over there.
Already?
Whereas, you know, in the original game, you don't even see him till you go to Rocket Town.
Yeah,
but in this game, he's like your
game.
Yeah, so you have this transportation with him. He flies you over. He doesn't join your party. So in this game, like, the last person that actually joins your party is Kate Sith. Vincent and Cid, they're, like, around, but they don't actually fight with you. And yeah, so Cid flies you over, and Cosmo Canyon is just gorgeous. Like, the town is just beautiful, the way it's etched into the mountain. You know, you have your little shops that are in caves, And you go up to his observatory and it's just towering above the canyon. And it's just, it's gorgeous. Like, you can tell that they put a lot of work into this area specifically, because it's just, it felt very special in a lot of ways. And as someone who wasn't fully attached to Cosmo Canyon in the original, but I always liked the music of it, it was fantastic in this part. And I really enjoyed it. I will say there was one part of it I absolutely hated. And this was another part I really didn't like. So they added like this new storyline with the Black Materia, right? Because in the original, they didn't really explain what it was about. It was just like the materia that would destroy the world kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
In this game, it was a materia created by the Gi, who are these like foreign, like mystical gods, basically. And they're like,
which they didn't really go into in the original too much.
Yeah.
I feel like it was kind of like brushed over.
Yeah, like I think there might have been like a mural or something in Cosmo Canyon about them, but.
Well, you fight like one Nikki, I think, right? In Cosmo Canyon, like in the caves, but it's just like a floating head. Yeah.
Yeah, you fight like one dude, but they did not explain him at all, mm-hmm. if I remember right. And so these guys are basically the rivals to the Cetra, which is like Aerith, right? Like the guardians of a planet.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're doing this trial for Red and you learn about them. And it's just like these trials just go on so long. And it's just, I don't know. It, and that battle, oh my God. The one, it's kind of like the one you were just talking about, but it's like you get Doom cast on you. You're like mm-hmm. constantly getting debuffed. And I'm a person that hates getting debuffed in games with a passion. Yeah. I hate it. And it's just like you get everything thrown at you. And I hated that fight so much. But, you know, sticking through that, like it was really interesting hearing that backstory to the Black Materia. And, you know, in this one, in the original, Aerith had the White Materia, right? That's mm-hmm. like in this game, her White Materia is void, right? It's see-through. And that's why, like, so in the beginning, she was able to see the future, right? She knew she was going to die. And Red knew it too. Red could kind of see the future, but over time he stopped being able to. When her materia went empty, she stopped losing her memories. And they explained that in the remake, every time she was touched by one of those little ghost whisper guys, mm-hmm. she would lose memories and lose visions of the future. And mm-hmm. I think towards the end of remake, they floated so much around her that she just totally forgot everything about the future.
Interesting.
Yeah, that was always kind of weird. I think after every chapter, like I think after chapter 6 or something, you always get a scene with Zach.
Mm-hmm.
And he's back at Aerith's house, and Aerith is, you know, unconscious, and so is Cloud. And it was, I couldn't understand it for a while, what was going on. And then they kind of clear it up later on that there are like alternate timeline things going on.
Hmm.
Which I don't know how to feel about still. Like sometimes I think about it, I'm like, oh, it's kind of cool. Like it explains, it makes sense because this is how they're able to tell somewhat of a new story, but still keep the old story, right? Like, if it's but the that same also timeline, opens
Pandora's box of them just being completely outlandish with it and just going like start bringing in characters from different Final Fantasies and just saying, well, it's like, well, it's an alternate timeline. They happen to go through a time loop, right? Like,
yeah, see, that's what I'm being like. I'm hope like I know they're probably not going to do that because I feel like people would literally freak out. But mm-hmm. it's still weird to think about. Like,
or like Knights of the Round becomes like the Heroes of Light or something where it's an attack through all of time. Yeah.
I'm wondering if they're going to add that in to the next game. I'm pretty sure they will. Because most of the summons were in, a lot of them were in this one. But yeah, I feel like the story kind of like a lot of new stuff was popping up after this. Like basically after Gungaga, there was a lot of new story elements getting added in with a lot of this background stuff. And at first I didn't really care for it, but once I beat the game, it all made sense. And I after, you know, a week of being done with it, had time to think about it. I was like, you know what? It's kind of cool what they're trying to do. And I am interested in the third game, right? Like I'm curious because they've added so much backstory to a lot of these characters that you just kind of wanted more of in the past. You know, when you go to Nibelheim and you meet Vincent, mm-hmm. you know, it's a different interaction from the original, right? Like he's kind of guarding.
Just in a coffin.
He is in a coffin, but he's guarding a terminal in Nibelheim because you're trying to. So once you get to Nibelheim, you're trying to find a terminal that'll find out where the Temple of Ancients is because somehow it's in a Shinra database. So Kate Sith is trying to find a terminal and you have to go into the mansion and that's where you'll meet Vincent, but he's guarding the lab. So you have to fight him and it's like, it's not Gaelic. It's like, but it's that like werewolf form that he has.
Right.
And so you battle him and then he respects you. And, you know, then you're able to find out everything that's going on. And, you know, after that, you go back to the Golden Saucer. And it's just like, it's just weird. You know, you fight Don Corneo again. That character sucks.
Yeah.
They added like this. So I think this was all new. I don't remember any of this in the original. But basically, like after Nibelheim, you're going to the Golden Saucer. And it's annoying because you're like doing all this like extra stuff. The Turks get involved. I feel like the Turks played a much bigger part in this game than the original, for better or for worse. And one of the most annoying boss fights in the game in this chapter too, where you're fighting Rufus, and it's just like he basically can block every hit you do because he'll dodge it and then shoot you. So basically what you have to do is you just have to keep dodging him until he reloads, smack him, and then dodge again. And I was like, this is obnoxious,
just,
you know?
Just drawn out for no reason, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, granted this is like ramping up to the end of the game, you know? And then after that, it's like, okay, like you're going to the temple, ancient temple. And I thought it was really cool looking. You know, like there's a lot of interesting things they do to make it exciting. And I really liked how they just framed the whole temple, right? It's just, it felt like it was ever evolving, ever moving. And, you know, once you get to the end of the game, it kind of plays out all the same, right? Like, you know what happens with Aerith. Like, it's all the same, but there are a lot of differences too. And the final fight was very prolonged, I'll put it that way. Also very emotional. Like, you know, basically Zack plays a much bigger part, and this is when you start realizing like, oh, like you're trying to merge different timelines together. And that's basically like what's happening is like this reunion is not just a reunion of cells, it's a reunion of all these like universes. To collide. Like he wants power over all of it. And it goes deeper into that. And, you know, at the end of the game, like you realize like there is still kind of that weird alternate reality going on. And I am curious like where they go, because when you look at the map, like, there's still, like, a shaded area, right, above Nibelheim, which I know, I think that's where Wutai is, even though I thought Wutai was an island. I don't remember. But
no, I think it was hidden in the woods.
Okay, so, like, that north area, it would have Wutai, Rocket Town, like, and then you have, like, the North Crater. So I'm curious, like, what they're going to do, because this game was long, right? There's a lot you can do in it. And I'm thinking,
I mean, you got 80 hours in it, yeah.
Disc 2 was pretty long in the original because that's when all the weapons started reacting. That's when you go to Wutai. Like, there's still quite a lot to do. But I'm just like, how are you going to get another, like, I don't know, 60, 80 hours of it? Like, I feel like that'd be a good 40-hour game, which maybe that's all they need. You know, I feel
I mean, Disc 3 was actually very quick. Like, that was the shortest disc. So maybe they're going to do that. Right, like they're following the same formula that the discs had. Like disc one was a decent length, disc two was really long, and then disc three was kind of just summing it all up really quickly.
Yeah, and you have to remember the next game is gonna have where you can play Sid and Vincent. I would think, right?
I'd hope so. Yeah,
I would think that if they really wanted to prolong the game, what they would do is they would add in side story stuff, right? Like maybe once you beat the game, there'd be like Advent Children stuff, or there'd be, you know, Dirge of Cerebus or stuff like that, right? Like there'd be a little bit of backstory touched in. I mean, maybe not, because they can do that with this whole alternate universe kind of thing. But yeah, I was satisfied with the game. Like, as much as there were a lot of things I complain about, I still really enjoy my time with it. And I think anybody that really likes, like, the original and wants to see, like, an old friend that, you know, is in better shape, looks good, like, that's what this game is. You know, it's in a lot of ways, it's streamlined for the better, right, for a modern audience. And I don't regret my time with it. You know, I still had a lot of fun with it. It's just, it got to a point where I just kind of got burnt out. And, I mean, that's fine. You know, I feel like a lot of the criticism this game has gotten, good and bad, it's like, I can agree with both sides. Like, this game is very, it's enjoyable. You know, I feel like this year is another big year of RPGs, and in a lot of ways, I feel like I enjoyed Infinite Wealth a lot more than this. You know, Persona 3, I really enjoyed too, and, you know, it's, I think it'll definitely be there, like, winning awards and stuff, but I don't know, to me, I feel like this year's just going to have a lot of better RPGs than that. But we'll see. You know, I think that this is a fun game and I'm excited for the next.
Nice. Hell yeah. Well, I mean, thank you for sharing that. And thank you for going through all of that with the new Final Fantasy game. And thanks for leading this episode. I appreciate it. This is fun. I really enjoy, like, I liked hearing about the differences and things like that. And I know I haven't played through it, but I'm okay with hearing about these things because... I know the story of Final Fantasy, so it's fun to see the tweaks and what they're able to expand upon and all that. So, yeah, this is really cool. This is awesome. But, yeah. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for us this week. Thank you guys so much for joining us once again, and we'll talk to you guys next week with some more games. But until then, bye for now.